To John chapter 16, we got to preach and preach in a hurry. Karen's got dinner on out there, and I'm really worried about it. You all know that. No, what I'm concerned about is getting into the preaching of God's word, and I want to preach this morning a message I hope will be an encouragement to you. Take us a little time to get to the encouraging part, but John chapter 16. Good to have everybody out. And the verse number, let's start reading at verse number 27. Verse number 27. Now, keep in mind, kind of a brief overview as we come up into this chapter, the latter part of John chapter 16, that Jesus from John chapter 14 is giving his disciples and his people wisdom for the prophetic future and for the practical future. In other words, he's telling them what's out in the future. But between now and then, he's also giving them instructions how to live practically in the light of that. Now, specifically, the issue that he's preparing them for as Christians is to live in this world as Christians. I don't tell you that's important. Amen. If I don't have a practical Christianity, I don't have any at all. If I don't have a faith that teaches me how to live in this wicked world, I ain't got anything. I know I'm looking forward to that land to come, but I'm also need to know how to live now. And I'll tell you, I love living a Christian life. So he's giving them that preparation for teaching them how to live in the world. Now, when John chapter 17, you get past this chapter, Jesus is in intercessory prayer. It's a prayer for protection and deliverance and victory, not in the world, listen to me, but over the world. Now, I'm telling you something. Jesus' prayer was that his followers, his disciples, would live in the world in victory over the world. That's the secret. That's the secret. To be an overcomer while we're here in this world. That's what people need to see. They don't need to see a bunch of down-the-mouth, worried to death, despair, give up, pop and pill, a bunch of people don't know where they're headed, what they're doing. They need to see people with confidence and solidness and surety about their faith in their God. Now, I'm telling you something this morning. Jesus, give that to you now. When you get on, and then he talks about, see, being in the world, being an overcomer over the world, and then he's talking about taking us out of the world. Amen? So in the world, over the world, and out of the world. That's what we're going to do. So keep that in mind as you read this. Now, verse 27 says this. For the Father himself loveth you. Boy, underline that. The Father himself loveth you. Boy, I tell you what, y'all shout right there. I know Bob's not here this morning. How many knows Bob's not here? Y'all know that, so the rest of you say, well, Bob's not here, I can't say anything. Hey, won't somebody fill his gap in this morning, amen? All right, don't worry about who ain't here, worry about God being here. Now, listen, some of you young men need to learn how to shout and say hallelujah and glory to God and amen now. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you something. I know you're afraid some little sweetie pie across the church might hear you, amen. And so now you just want to get you a good set of claws and get ready to roost on the head of your bed. Because if you're already henpecked and ain't even married, woo! I mean, if she's already controlling you and you ain't even married, you've got trouble. Amen. Now, all right, so anyway, we get past that. The Father himself loveth you. How many says amen right there? He said, because ye have loved me and I have believed that I came out from God. Now, he's given them the essence of the gospel. Verse 28 says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. That's the basis of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world, died for sinners, rose from the dead, and went back to the Father and ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Now look at verse 31. Jesus says kind of a strange thing. Jesus says to him, do you now believe? I want you to ask yourself that question. Do you now believe? Do you now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I didn't ask you if you was in church this morning. I asked you, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That name above every name, that name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you now believe or are you just religious? Well, I'll tell you, there's something changes in you when the Holy Ghost brings Holy Ghost conviction of sin and gives you grace to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He moves in by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, it ain't religion no more. It's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, do you now believe? Now, here's what he's getting. He's setting something up. Now, y'all ready? Y'all ready? He's setting something up. Behold, verse 32, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. He said, are you sure you believe? Because he said, I'm going to tell you something. The hour is coming and is right now at us that you're going to be scattered. And the reason you're going to be scattered is because there's going to be persecution come at you for you believing on me as the Savior. So he said, I just want you to make sure. Do you really believe? Look what he said there. He said, do you believe? He said, I was coming. He said, every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And that's exactly what happened. Is that not true? Did not the disciples, every one of them, fled? Did they not leave Jesus alone and Peter wound back around, you know, and they left? Jesus prophesied exactly what they were going to do. He was challenging them to the depth and the reality of their faith. Now watch this, underline in your Bible. Yet I am not alone. Amen. Yet I'm not alone. I will tell you something this morning. When the devil throws everything he can throw at you, everything he can possibly throw at you, you're never alone. Because the Father is with you. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God don't lie to nobody. I don't care how deep the ditch is. I don't care how hard the fall was. I don't care how nasty the mud hole was. I don't care how bad the mountain or the trial is. God will never leave you. Now he said this, because the Father is with me. I'm not lying at your Bible. I don't align that in your Bible. The Father's with me. The Father's with me. Now he's going to tell them why he told them all these things. Are you ready? These things have I spoken unto you. By the way, can I just stop here and say that Christianity is for men and real women. And the reason some of you sitting in this church house are not saved is because you're a wimp. You are a stinking little devilish wimp. You do what the devil tells you to do. If he says sit, you're just like a puppy dog. If he tells you to listen to rock and roll, you listen to rock and roll. Yes, devil, I do it. If he tells you to look at pornography, yes, devil, I look at it. You mean you ain't no man? Admit it. If you were a man, you'd serve Jesus Christ. If you were a real woman, you'd serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know it takes more guts, more backbone, more of a man to follow God in this generation than it does to do nothing. You know that. Amen. That's the reason you was kind of want to waller. That's why you hang around the edges of church. Because you're scared. You're fearful. Now, Jesus will be honest with you. He'll tell you some things. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. You need to underline that. In Him. You ain't never going to find peace anyplace else. You're never going to find peace anyplace else except in Jesus Christ. Now, when a man gets saved, when you got saved, I was 28 when I got saved, God the Holy Ghost put me in the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm part of the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, that mystical body. And I have been placed in Christ. And everything that Christ is and does and is going to do, I'm part of it. Amen? I am in Him, in His righteousness, in His holiness. And my only hope is in Christ. And you read the book of Ephesians, and many, many times over and again, it'll talk to you about in whom and in Him. And it gives you all the blessings and the benefits of being in Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you get saved. You're put in Christ. He said, in me, you might have peace. That's where you're going to get peace, nowhere else. But now look what he said. Now, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about in Him, in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection, in His gospel, in His substitutionary death for your sins on the cross, the shedding of His blood when you're in Him. Now he says this. Now watch the two ends. In me, you might have peace. Look at the next one. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now you better get that. In Christ, in this world, right now, you can have peace. I don't care what's going on. But in the world, God didn't say you might have, it could be, maybe so. You are going to have tribulation. You're going to have to. I'm not talking about the great tribulation. I'm talking about common tribulation that's in a sin-cursed world here. He said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. But, amen. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate your help. Be of what?
be shaking and trembling and saying, "Oh, did you see Sean Hannity last night? Did you hear what Glenn Beck had to say? Did you hear what Rush Limbaugh and Oprah Winfrey said this week? And Dr. Phil, hand me my pills, honey." That's almost the way it seems like Americans are now. He said, "Hey," he said, "in me you have peace, but in you're in this world, the world, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer." Why? Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Well, now watch this. If he's overcome the world and I'm in Christ, I'm an overcomer. Amen. Now, listen this morning. I want to preach a message on how to be of good cheer in a troubled world. I want to be preach a message. How to be of good cheer in a troubled world. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." I'll preach on that for just a little while. What is tribulation? As I said, we're not talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. We're talking about the common tribulations that come especially to God's people as aliens of this world. Tribulation means trouble. How many has ever had trouble? It means trouble. It means to have sorrow. It means to have tough sorrow. It means to go through hard times. It means to be even in turmoil in your life. It means could be disasters in your life. It could be pain. It could be the hatred of other people. It could be death, sickness, enemies, rejection, disappointment, poverty, and affliction. This is what tribulation can incur. And yet he said, "Be of good cheer." Now that's a different amen. "Because I've overcome the world." I want to remind you that this world is no friend of grace and never has been and never will be a friend of grace. Oh, listen to me this morning. We live in a world of trouble. How many's got that figured out? Now I feel sorry for these all-millennialists who think the world's getting better and better. They're dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. The Bible said that this world's going to get worse and worse until Jesus Christ comes. And the Bible teaches us, listen, I mean to tell you, if you think this world's getting better, you're smoking bad pot, amen. Change your weed, amen. I mean, you've got a hold of a bad needle of meth or something. I mean, why have you just snuffing the meth or something? You must have snuffed baking powder. If you think this world's getting better, friend, it is not getting better. It's getting worse. And hey, God told you it will and is getting worse and worse until the Lord comes back. Now, I'm saying this to you. We're headed toward ruin. We're headed toward the great tribulation. Now you say, "Reg, I want to give you this morning six things real quick that are indicative of the tribulation that's in this world." Number one, war. Number one, wars. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 24, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of war." I tell you what, I wished I was a good liberal. I'd jump right down Obama's throat for shooting them missiles at them people last night. That clown got up and talked about, you know, we had not been messing with and being a warmonger and chewed George Bush out and all his bunch for being in Afghanistan and Iraq and then shoots missiles at Libya yesterday. Why, just last week I thought we was going to let the Libyan people decide what the Libyan people wanted. Hey, he's a hypocrite. He's a two-faced, mealy-mouthed, nothing blowing with every wind. He doesn't have a clue where he's headed and what he's going on. That's what happens to you when you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Wars and rumors of wars, I never seen like. The fact that it is, our country has almost been a nonstop war since the inception of this nation. Did you know that? Revolutionary War, French and Indian War, British War. I don't tell you what. I mean, on the Spanish War, Civil War. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. We're a nation constantly at war. Just be honest about it. Listen, folks, this whole world is at war. I mean, just think about it right now. North Korea is about like a big bomb ready to go off over there. I mean, if those clowns had the power, they'd blow everybody, I guess, and themselves up too. I don't know. Libya over there. I mean, just a bomb waiting to go off. Iran wanting to have enough nukes to blow the whole world into hell. Over in Africa, fighting each other nonstop. The Mideast has been in war since I was a kid. Israel's not had hardly a day of peace since they came into existence, rebirth as a nation since 1948. Egypt, China, Russia, Argentina, idiots all over the world, the globe, dictatorships, and I'm telling you what, everybody fighting and struggling. The Bible's right, amen? In this world you shall have tribulation. But let me say something to you. Not only I believe that tribulation involves physical wars of this world, but it involves personal wars in your heart. Some of you are at war with God today. You're at war with God. Some of you are at war with your parents. Some of you are at war with yourself. Let me tell you, without Jesus Christ, you'll never have peace. And that's why you need Him as your Savior. That's why you need the forgiveness of your sins and the repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And let Him become your Lord and your Savior, and you'll have peace in your heart in the midst of this world. But I'm telling you, the greatest wars I've seen going on, I deal with it continuously, almost nonstop, is people that are at war with themselves. You need to throw up the flag and surrender the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got war in families. War in families. Brothers against brothers. Sisters against brothers. Brothers against sisters. Parents against kids. You say, I don't believe that. Brother, it's everywhere. I don't know of a family it's not in. People won't speak to each other. They've totally ticked each other off till they can't even communicate. War in our own families. War in our churches. Church split have become the norms. I want to say something to you. Church splits ought not be the norm in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that you'll be known for your oneness in the Lord Jesus Christ, for your unity in Jesus Christ. And yet it's wars, not just physical wars, family wars, church wars. There's factions. Atheists, the evolutionists, the liberals, the conservatives. I mean, tell you what, everybody's, you know what? I think America itself, the people of America are just a tinder waiting for a fire to hit. Buddy, let me tell you something. There is a climate in this country right now. If the right circumstances occurred, you would see a war in this nation right here. Factions. War among faiths. Denominations fighting each other. Churches opposing each other. Christianity against Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. And you know what I'm telling you right now? The Muslims believe in a holy war. Jihad, that if they believe it's their duty bound by that lying book, the Quran, and give this to your Muslim friend. It is a lying book from a lying prophet. He's a lying, Muhammad is a lying false prophet. By the way, he didn't have the guts to prophesy anything because he knew he didn't know nothing. This Bible, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, and you're seeing them be fulfilled. But that bunch, like, would cut everybody's throat and behead everybody in the United States that wouldn't convert to Muslimism. Can I say to you, we need to drive out every Muslim in the United States out of the borders of this country. If we don't, our great-grandchildren will pay the price in blood. You mark it down. I'm not playing politics with you. If we don't drive the Muslims out of this country, brother, they're going to drive our people to the grave. They will shed your great-grandchildren's blood. You mark it down. You say, that's pretty rough. Hey, man, it is rough. Life is rough. Tribulation is rough. They're faced by their border. We got a border war down in Mexico. Our sister right here got a son down there right now trying to guard our borders. I mean, they're beheading each other, shooting each other. We're having Americans killed down there. Ranchers are selling their farms because the government, the federal government, who's supposed to have the responsibility, will do nothing to protect them. Amen. I'm telling you something. How'd you like for a bunch of illegal aliens to tramp through your backyard night and day, leaving their trash and going to the bathroom? You wouldn't like it. And you'd think that the authorities in town ought to do something about it. The authorities of our nation ought to do something about it. We're in a war down here on our own border. Not only that, but in our cities, gangs. Gang wars. Can't go past this street. Can't go past that street. You don't dare go in that part of town. You don't dare go to that part of town. I'm telling you, when the Bible tells you that one of the signs of the last days is wars, we've got it everywhere, in every realm. Unions versus business. Isn't that a pitiful shame up there at Wisconsin? It's no wonder our kids are so rebellious against authority, so absolutely unruly, because they watch their mom and dad scream like whining babies. Can I say something? Get it off my chest? Brother, I'll tell you right now, I said it, I'm going to say it again. It came out in the paper this week about feeding your kids at this public school. That's the sickest thing. Any parent that won't feed their child breakfast ought to be arrested and put in jail. Any parent that send their child to school to be fed breakfast ought to be put in jail. That's child neglect. You're giving your children to be trained to be a socialist, cared for. They're disintegrating the family. I'm against, totally against any school program. I don't even think they ought to feed them lunch. I think you ought to take your lunch. If you want to go to school there, I don't think they ought to pick you up by bus. You know something? I ain't nothing but a country boy idiot. But I wouldn't let my girl stand out in our driveway to be picked up by a bus. It's that dangerous, this country. Amen. You listen to me. Parents afraid to let, pull up there. They won't let the kids ride the bus afraid they'll get raped, abducted, kidnapped. Nuts. Everyone's armed to the teeth, and rightly so. And like the old praise preacher said, you don't come in here thinking you do something. I've got a gun and probably 15 other men's got a gun in here. I ain't got one on me personally right now, but I've been thinking about carrying one. Let me tell you something. We got a right to defend ourselves and our persons and our property. Any man that won't take care of his own household is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. Now, not only that, but I tell you this much. We better stay with Israel. We better stay with Israel. I'm 110, 150, 200% behind the nation of Israel. The Jewish people are the chosen people of God. They're the apple of God's eye. You touch God's apple, that'll slap you silly into hell. Amen. I want to tell you something. I love Israel. They're God's people. You say, I don't like everything they do. I don't like everything you do either. I don't like everything I do. I'll tell you, in the United Nations, ain't that a joke? They're out of hell and we ought to get them out of here. Can I say something to you? That God is a man of war. Do you know the Bible said that God's a man of war? Did you know when Jesus Christ comes back in power and in glory in Revelation chapter 19 that He's coming to consume with the sword of His Spirit and the sword of His mouth? Did you know that He'll kill and slay? I'm all happy this morning. I'm just happy as I lark. Amen. I am this morning. How many of you are happy this morning? You're just happy. Amen. You know why you ought to be? The Bible just got through saying, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. You better be of good cheer. Did you know not to be of good cheer is disobedient to God? Did you know you're violating the direct command of God not to be of good cheer? Did you know it's wicked sin for you not to be of good cheer? Hey, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Amen. Does good like a medicine. Now listen to me. Jesus Christ is a man of war. And He's coming back to kill and slay. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't on the right side, you're getting whooped. And whooped bad. Not only is there war, I got to run. There's wickedness. Wickedness everywhere. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 24 that because of love of many shall go cold, iniquity shall abound. Brother, I'm going to tell you, iniquity is abounding in this nation. I tell you, this country is full of perverts, pornos, pimps, pedophiles. 2 Timothy chapter 3 said in the latter days, perilous times shall come. Did you know the other day that the President of the United States put a sodomite in as the Social Secretary of the White House of America? Did you know that he sets up all the parties and everybody coming in and you don't go in or out of that White House without a sodomite telling you what you can and can't do in our country? I'm telling you, our country is wicked! Wicked! When our President puts a sodomite as the Social Secretary of the White House! Wicked! I'll tell you what, let me tell you something. I'm a Christian before I'm American. And I love America and I'll fight for it. I'll tell you, I'll die for it, but you listen to me. They're trying to change this into an America that was not founded by our fathers. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. We're living in perilous times. It's like the days of Noah. The Bible said the imagination of their hearts was only evil continuously. I'll tell you something. It's wicked when mothers kill their own children. When we're haters of God. I'll tell you something. We got child molesters and queers running loose all over this country. I want to tell you, our schools are war zones full of filth, full of incest, rape, murder, and cruelty. Teachers sodomizing children in our public schools. I want to tell you, teachers having sex with kids. It is sick! Country's full of liars, dishonest, crooked preachers, evolutionists and atheists and drug heads and pot heads and meth heads. My son come from his place to my place the other day. Somebody dumped a bunch of trash. He stopped to pick it up. It was a meth lab thrown out. Get it over at my house. Drano and all the rest of that garbage that it takes to make meth. We're sick. Don't tell you something, but I'm of good cheer. Because he said, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It may be glad, Brother Kitty, that my boy wasn't throwing out the meth lab. It may be glad Zach. I don't think Zach's making meth. Amen. I'm glad Zach wasn't making the meth. We've overcome the world. Hey, I'm glad my kids ain't in that. Amen. Why? Through Jesus Christ, we overcame the world. That's what, read 1 John chapter 2. Talks about young men because you've overcome the wicked one. You listen to me. I'm talking about, listen, wicked. I'm talking about, listen, look, not only wars and wickedness, but weather. The weather. Did you know the Bible speaks of weather changes? Did you know that the people that keep track of the earthquake patterns put out last week that in the last 2 years, it has been double normal activity across the globe. Twice the normal activity, earthquake activity. We've had earthquakes all over the country. Haiti, New Zealand, the U.S., Japan, now, and the Mideast. I mean, just every day you wake up, an earthquake somewhere. Somebody had an earthquake. Jesus said, earthquakes. Did you know in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that because of the curse of sin upon this earth, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth until the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know what this earth is doing? This earth is groaning and travailing under the curse of sin. Famines, floods. Poor old Al Gore, I feel sorry for him. It's coldest winters on record, and poor guy's trying to talk everybody into global warming. There's a global warming coming, all right. This whole globe is set on fire, the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3. But let me tell you something I believe. I'll tell you what, can you imagine that? Did you, how many saw pictures of that tsunami when it swept into Japan? Yeah. My soul almighty, you talking about just sweet buildings away and cars like there's toys. Yeah. And that's just one little old tsunami. Think about it, folks. This is why this is what blows the evolutionists out of the water. If they don't have a clue what that flood was like in Noah's day. When the great fountains of the deep broke up, brother, I'm going to tell you something. And all of a sudden, you know, can you ever even wonder how oil got several thousand feet deep? Can anybody tell me what oil is made out of? Plants and animals. That got buried way, 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 way down there. Deep, deep, deep during the flood. We don't have a clue what happened when that flood busted loose, buddy. I'm telling you, listen. Earthquakes, famines. I'm going to tell you something. What's a coming? I believe it. There's going to be a food shortage. You say, Reggie, I'll throw one at you. In Genesis, when Joseph was down there and they had the 7-year famine deal, that whole deal when they come down there and all that is a prefigure of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, that you've got the 10 plagues or a picture of the tribulation and all that stuff in Genesis, Revelation is enclosed in Genesis. And there was a big famine. I said that to get some of you planting garden this winter or this spring. Listen, if we have global warming, it's not going to be because of somebody's carbon footprint. It's going to be because of the sin of this nation. Storms, hurricanes, tsunamis, food shortages. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. The weather is a-changing. Wars, wickedness, weather. But let me tell you what I believe one of the greatest trouble is in the world right now is worldliness in the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about a great falling away. Before that day, ministries and churches have become Mickey Mouse clubs. The world is in the church. They're ordaining queers to preach, women to preach. There's perverts in the pulpits, predators in the pulpits, people that won't take a stand. They're hirelings. All they want to do is say the prayer at the graduation service. They've left the Bible. I was standing here this morning thinking, how would we read John chapter 20 together this morning? It had 14 different Bible versions in here. I remind you that this authorized version is the only Bible in the world that has not changed, that has not taken Lucifer's name out of Isaiah. That one thing alone, brother, I'm going to tell you, we've got the Word of God. Preachers leaving the Bible like flies. They don't care what God's Word says. They care what the denominational hierarchy says. Nakedness. I tell you, it's pitiful how people are going around naked these days. I tell you what, it's unbelievable. I tell you, you ought to dress modest. Amen? No difference between the world and the church. Now the Bible said that they would do something in the last days. Now listen carefully. How many knows if you turn on radio 89.1 or any other Christian station, how many expects to hear hellfire and brimstone and preaching on judgment? You are not going to hear it. What are you going to hear? When you turn on all the big nationally syndicated radio programs, Christian radio programs, what are you going to hear? Teaching. Listen to this. God said, a prophetic warning, that in the last times they would heap to themselves teachers. Not preachers, but teachers. Now, I ain't got nothing against teachers. We need teachers, the Bible ordained teachers. We need teachers. But he said these teachers would, he said they'll have, he said these people would have, that heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. How many's ever had an ear itch? There's two things that you got to deal with this ear itch. One of them is, if you ain't careful, it'll tickle you. You have, you know, just tickle. Because you're trying to deal with, you stick something, it'll tickle you. Well, I mean, it's sensitive, so you tickle your ear. And the other is scratching, it feels good. Itching ears has two responses. Make me feel good by scratching where I itch, or tickle me. That's what most preaching or pulpiteering has done in America now. It is ear scratching. Itches. People come in and they've sinned and they're itching a little bit. Or they've had went through a bad week and they're itching a little bit. Could you just scratch me right in there, preacher, right there? Right, yeah, right in there. Or you ain't scratching me nowhere. Amen. Hey, can I just throw this at you? Some of you idiots who are going down to have yourself a massage, ain't no man massaging me. I'll bust his teeth out if he lays his hand on me. Have your wife massage you if you want to. Don't you be having no other man massage you. You little old queer. You fag. I've got a mean streak running up me right now. Amen. I'll tell you something. If God be my helper, there's going to be men come out of this church. Not a bunch of faggy waggies having some man massage them at $50 an hour. You're going to pay somebody $50 an hour? Pay your wife, buddy. Say amen right there, girls. Amen. What we've got is people filling our churches that are full of itching ears. And they don't want nobody backing up and preaching it. Don't be preaching to me. Teach me. Give me 42 steps to victory. 1, 2, 3. What step are we on? Isn't that true? We got a nation of teacher preachers. They're preachers, but they really don't preach. They teach. You read your Bible. You follow Jesus. He went preaching. It does say once in a while about teaching, but he preached in the city. He preached in the city. He preached in the city. I'll tell you what people don't like. They don't like preaching. They don't like nobody get up and say, you're wicked, sorry, low down, heaven's over, sinner. You ought to get saved, amen. You ought to repent. Stop it. They don't like anybody getting up here and preaching to them. It's made me, they want teaching. You know what the Bible said? Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. You know what we got? We got a nation of kazoo players. God didn't say put a harmonica in your mouth. He said lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people. Kazoo, you know, just allude to the song. You really don't know the song, but it sounds like the song. Amen. Compromise in our churches. Won't take a stand. Or they're pharisaical. Kenny, is that top button buttoned up or not? You must have lost your salvation. I'm telling you what, if we're not compromisers, we're Pharisees. You know, you don't wear the same color suit coat I wear, you backslid. Go to these preacher conferences, Lord save us from them things. Amen. Or they're jealous. Worst bunch of people in the world, preacher, jealous preachers.
That's the truth. Churches are controlled by public schools, lodge members, or denominational leaders. That's the truth. And the music, worldliness in the church, they're playing worse music in the churches now than the heart, than what I thought was wild rock when I was a kid. Hey, you compromised. Don't you tell me you compromised. You went to the world. You sold out. Amen. I want to tell you something. Not only that, preaching the word. That's what God wants. Number five, worshipers of the devil. But I want to tell you something. The God of this world, little g. We got a bunch of people worshiping nature. I mean, can you imagine climbing up into a pine tree or camping out up there for 3 weeks so some logger don't cut it down? I'd like to have my old McCullough chainsaw right there. Watch this. This is going to be fun. I'll tell you, I'd cut her down. Amen. I'd see that monkey jump. Amen. That monkey will jump. Amen. Listen. We got a bunch of tree huggers. I went out to hunting in Idaho with Don Zinn and you guys remember getting up there in that Elk City, Idaho? And you go up to the grocery store and they got a big sign up there that says, no earth firsters. You don't buy bologna in that place. You one of them tree huggers. They'll kick you down the street. Amen. I'll tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, they all just live in a tree. Hey, why are they in a tree? They believe they came from a monkey. That's where they're trying to head back to. God of this world, they're worshiping animals. Listen to me. I'm beginning to see it in this area. People believe in, you know, animals have spirits and trees have spirits and they talk. I talked to a tree the other day. And can I say to you that most of what's behind the vegetation movement, vegetable only eating people movement, is because it's a satanic spirit in it. If you want to eat vegetables, help yourself. I love them, but I want a good hamburger to go with it. Now you listen to me. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. God said in the latter days they'd forbid to eat meat. They'd say y'all not eat meat in the latter days. You want to be a vegetarian for your health good? Hey, don't tell me I can't eat George the cow, the George the steer. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, we're talking about worshipers of the devil bringing this satanic junk into our churches. Worshiping nature, worshiping animals. I mean, the big deal now is the Indian great spirit. Hey, the great spirit was a satanic spirit. You better be careful about the books you're reading in Christian bookstores nowadays. They're full of wickedness. Full of wickedness. New Age junk. Worshiping owls, frogs, lizards, rats, kissing chihuahuas and killing their babies. Hey! You're full of the devil! You got a bunch of women driving around Springfield with a stinking, nasty, filthy, rotten, puking, flea-bitten poodle dog sitting in their lap licking on their face. And driving over to the doctor to get an abortion to kill her own baby in her womb. I'm talking about devil nuts. Now you still know I don't like chihuahuas. I still don't like that burger. Besides that, they'll bite you. But there's something nuts about a country that'll kiss chihuahuas and kill their own babies. That's reprobate. That's reprobate! That's satanic! Amen. Cults and clans and covenants, convents and witch deals, voodoo, every kind of Muslim pamper on their head and a blanket under their arm bunch. I tell you, I wouldn't wear a pamper on my head, would you, Tim? Even if I didn't have no more hair than you got, I wouldn't wear a pamper on my head. Amen. I'd let her shine. Let her shine. He's just letting his light shine. Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like it. Made me sick when Juan Williams said on that interview, you know, that it made him nervous getting on an airplane with people with them pampers on their head. And they fired him. NPR is nothing but a national socialistic organization bent on propaganding your children to be anti-biblical, anti-American, and a bunch of socialists.
ought to shut that thing down. Thank God for the congressman up there introducing legislation to defund that bunch of communists. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Rug under their arm. Country's taken over. Some of you have already started thinking Mormonism is another branch of Christianity. You've lost your mind. Mormonism is not. They believe Satan is the brother of Christ. They do not. They worship another Jesus that they've carved out who is not the Jesus of this Bible. And I don't care what Mitt Romney says. And if Mitt Romney's nominated, I will not vote for the man. I ain't voting for a Mormon for president. Number six, worry. This country's full of worry. I can't even estimate. I can't even gather up all the facts about how many pills Americans are taking to take care of their nervousness. The Bible said this. At the end time, men's hearts would fail them for fear. Men's hearts trembling, failing them for fear. It's here. I want to tell you something. Fear is gripping this nation. You know why? You don't go anywhere. I'm out among people all the time. You don't go anywhere. People are talking about yesterday at the auction I had. God walked and said, Reggie, this nation is gone. This nation is gone. This nation is gone. We're in trouble. And I want to tell you something. If I didn't have Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'd be worried too. You know something? I'm not worried. Because greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Buddy, I want to tell you something. I'm talking about worry, pills, as opposed to peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your request. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. He said, if you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be worried. Worry will kill you. I've tried it. It'll kill you. I got married. I didn't know I was a worrier. My wife found, she let me know. She says, you worry about stuff. She put up a sign. Worry is like a rocking chair. Something to do never gets you anywhere. I seen it every day. Put it up either in the kitchen or living room. And I've had a hard time. Sometimes I fight worry. But I'm going to tell you something. In Jesus Christ, but you know something? I'm not worried about where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not worried about dying. I'm not. I'll tell you something. You don't need to be worried today if you have Jesus. But let me say something to you. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to be concerned. You are in trouble with God. You say, Reggie, he said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He said, why? Jesus has overcome the world. Let me tell you what Jesus overcame. Jesus has overcome death, so you don't need to worry about that. He's overcome war. He's overcome wickedness. He's overcome the weather. He's overcome the worldliness in the churches. He's overcome the worshipers of the devil. And he's overcome worry. We are more than overcomers through Him. And I'm telling you something, the Lord is coming back. Amen? You know, we're not to be overtaken. We're to be overcomers. And the Bible said that we are, not will be, but are overcomers. Now, I went through all that. Now, I want to encourage you a little bit and help you to be of good cheer. Because you're an overcomer. How many saved? Raise your hand. You're saved. How many would say right now to your own heart, I'm an overcomer through Jesus Christ. I'm an overcomer in Christ. I'm an overcomer. In this world, I've got tribulation. How many's got a little trouble? Problem or two? Three, four, five, six, or seven? I mean, tractor blowed up, cow died, pickup tore up, the check they wrote you was hot. Listen to what the Bible says. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, what is that? That's the new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. Faith in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus overcame sin. You and I have not. But He did, and in Him, I'm an overcomer of sin. Jesus overcame the curse. Jesus overcame Satan. Jesus overcame temptation. Jesus overcame disease. Jesus overcame sickness. Jesus overcame storms. Jesus overcame lies. Jesus overcame the flesh, the world, and the devil.
Jesus overcame the powers and the principalities. Jesus overcame devils. Jesus overcame darkness. Jesus overcame despair. Jesus overcame discouragement. Jesus overcame death. He is a complete overcomer. And I've got good news for you today for you to go home happy on. We're more than overcomers through Him. All that this world could throw at Jesus Christ, all of its tribulations, He overcame. Bless His holy name. In Him, we're overcomers. Not until about 3 years ago, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, did I finally grab hold of. If you'll know, there are seven churches spoken of in Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, right? Seven churches. In all seven churches, every church, it is mentioned about them being overcomers. Every one of them. And I have struggled with that because it would say, he that overcometh and I'll get the right to eat out of the tree of the midst of the garden, whatever. And I kind of struggled with, what does it mean to be an overcomer? And stupid me, you know, Reggie, let the Bible interpret itself. And one day I went back over to 1 John and God had already told you just before we got to Revelation who an overcomer is. An overcomer is he that believes on the name of the Lord. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If you've been born again, you are an overcomer of the world. And what God is talking there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about overcoming is the church and the believers in Jesus Christ, their rewards. You listen to me. And I want to give these to you. In Him, not in our flesh, but in Him we're overcomers. Revelation 2:7 says this, that the overcomers will eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Beloved, this morning you can be of good cheer. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Isn't that good? Revelation 2:11 says, to the overcomers, they shall not, listen to this, they shall not be hurt of the second death. You know what the second death is? The second death is when you're cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. God said that an overcomer will never be hurt of the second death. You know what He's telling you? I give you eternal life. You don't need to worry about dying and going to the lake of fire. Number three, in Revelation 2:17, He said that overcomers will eat of the hidden manna. Watch this. This is so good. Eat of the hidden manna and will receive a white stone, and in that stone, a new name written. How many remembers the breastplate of the high priest? And in the breastplate of the high priest was 12 stones, and in those stones, the names. Remember? And we said it's a picture of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, carrying us, the living stones upon His breast, and our names written in them. There's one other thing about that white stone, and it has to do with the term that we are familiar with called being blackballed. They would put, in the Mideastern method, they would put, in fact, lodges do this to this day. They put several white stones in the box, they put one black stone in there. If the black stone came out, you were cast out. But the white stone came out, you were received. Second application of that passage of Scripture is that we are received and accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, remember the verse where He said, all that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. We're an overcomer in Revelation 2:26. He said, listen to this. I mean, I'm going to stretch your faith just a little bit here, but this is what the Bible said. That overcomers will have power over the nations and rule with Christ. Now, folks, we're talking about something here. Power over the nations and rule with Christ. In Revelation 3:5, the Bible said that whosoever overcometh will be clothed in white raiment and will not have their name blotted out of the book of life. Who is that? Somebody's asked me about the doctrine of having your name blotted out. That doctrine started in Moses mentions it about having his name blotted out rather than for God to throw off the children of Israel. The doctrine of having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life moves through the Bible. Let me tell you what I know this. I'll try to illustrate this and maybe do a little teaching right now. How many knows that when a baby dies, that it doesn't go to hell? It goes to heaven. You say, I don't believe that. I'm sorry for you. Don't even come and talk to me about it after church. That's beyond discussion. Okay? David said, when his baby died, I shall go to him, and he cannot return to me. David wasn't planning on going to hell. God is a just God. I don't understand everything about every issue and question of life, but I know this, that God's a just God. What I'm saying to you is this, is that I believe that we are born, conceived into this world, and our name is in the book of life. And I believe that the day comes that, listen to me now, listen to me close, you're sitting here today and you're lost. That God will deal with you about being born again. You come to that age of where you're responsible before God, and God deals with you, and God deals with you. You can, what the Bible calls, sin away your day of grace. And there comes a time, and I don't know when that is. It might be 10 for one. It might be 100 years old. I don't know the answer to that question. All I can tell you is this. There's a day when God cuts you off, and your name is blotted out, and you cannot be saved. And what I'm saying to you is that if you don't get saved, there'll come a day when God will take your name out of the book of life. And then when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, they'll open that book and your name will not be in there. But if you've been born again, your name is in the registry. Just like it is here, just like people do here. That's where we got the concept from. The Bible said that though we clothe in white raiment, will not have our name blotted out of the book of life, and our name will be confessed before the Father and His holy angels. In Revelation 3:12 it says that overcomers will be made a pillar in the temple of God and have the name of God written on us with a new city. We're going to have a new name and a new address. The New Jerusalem. Amen? And then finally God said this, that overcomers, and this one just, I mean this literally, I can't grasp it. This is what it says. Will be granted to sit with Jesus in His throne. Woo! Man, you talk about, I mean, can you imagine sitting with Jesus in His throne? And that, you check your Bible in Revelation 3:21. The Bible said, whosoever overcometh will be granted to sit with Him in His throne. Folks, no wonder Jesus told His disciples, in this world you're going to have tribulation. You're going to get sick. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have affliction. You're going to have some tragedies. You're going to have some very, very rough things to deal with in this life. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And in me, we are more than overcomers. In Christ, we're more than overcomers. And I want to encourage you today in this church house, you listen to me, I know you're listening to the news. Some of you need to throw that stinking thing down and use it for target practice. It's all right to listen to the news in a sensitive, but boy, be careful about what you're watching and what you've got to wade through to get the news. But I'm telling you this, if you're not careful, and I'm going to say something here today, and I wish everybody was here that ever goes to this church anytime was here to say what I'm going to say right now. I've noticed something. This church is bothering me. I see people who are saved, been delivered from a life of sin. God's rebuilt their life. God's given them a family. God's given them, blessed them up one side, down the other. And I watch them come in this church and sit. And while the singing's going, I thought it was my preaching for a long time. I got notes now. It's not what, maybe they're just dreading it. I don't know. But I've noticed them. The saddest, most sorrowful, dismal looks on their faces sitting in church. David said, folks, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm not here to beat you up over that today, but what I want to say to you is this, that your Savior who died for you and gave you eternal life, who made you an overcomer, told you to be of good cheer. You know what your problem is? You really don't believe it. That's why He told disciples, do you believe? Do you really believe? He said, I want to tell you what, your faith is going to be checked because, he said, when the pressures come, he said, and that tribulation comes and all those sorrows comes, he said, you can still be of good cheer in the midst of it because, he said, you're an overcomer through me. Now, I want to challenge you this morning to ask yourself a question. As Brother Dennis got up here, and Dennis has a wonderful Sunday school lesson. Bless your heart. He got up here and read that thing this morning about how blessed we are. Folks, we ought to be the happiest, most joyful, most cheerful people this side of Glory Land. Amen? Folks, I'm going to tell you, did you know while I'm preaching this morning, I've got one whale of a neck ache. It's running right down. I tell you, Kenny, it's bad. It's running right down the back of my neck, into my shoulder, and it's just pulling like that every time I try to move. Do you know what? I'm of good cheer. Because you know what I know? One of these days I'm going to lay this old house down in the dust, and I'm going to be with the Lord, and I'm going to have a new glorified body fashioned like unto His glorious body. I've got a reason in the middle of my neck ache to be of good cheer. Amen. I'll wait till I get home and gripe to care, and let's stand. Let's stand together.
right, everybody, look up here at me. I don't want one head bowed and I don't want one eye closed when everybody awake and looking. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die, if you were to die today, right now, do you know that you're an overcomer having been born again of the Spirit of God? If you know that you are, would you raise your hand to glory and thank Him and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'll try to be a better cheer because of what You've done for me. Just talk to God and say, Lord, I want to be a person of good cheer in the midst of this old world of tribulation and sorrow and death and sickness and sadness. You can put Him down. If you're here today and you couldn't raise your hand, why couldn't you raise your hand? You know why? Because the Holy Ghost of God witnessed to you that you're lost. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to be right here at the front of this church when I dismiss. Don't anybody come visit with me unless you want to be saved today. I want to do business with folks that's lost and headed to hell, a heartbeat away from eternity. I'll be here. But you can be saved today. You can be an overcomer. Grab your husband. Grab your wife. Grab your mom and daddy. You come up here and say, listen, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved today. I want that eternal life that Jesus Christ gave me. I want to be able to be of good cheer when I'm hearing about Libya blowing up. I want to be of good cheer when I hear about all these wars and all this wickedness and all this weather and all the... I'll tell you what, folks. If I wasn't saved, I'd be popping pills too. It'd be enough to drive anybody nuts. Amen. But we've got Jesus. And in Him, we'll have what? Peace. Peace in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we can be of good cheer in the midst of a world full of trouble. Oh God, today, I thank You for the Bible. Lord, I'd be crazier than a Fruit Loop without the Word of God. Lord, the stupidity and the senselessness and the idiocy, Lord, that we see going on. My Lord, the wickedness, the wars, the weather, the worldliness in the church, the worrying, the worshiping of the devil. Oh God, I thank You that we have the truth and the light of God. And I praise Your holy name today, God, that we're more than overcomers, more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. God, that, Lord, we can be of good cheer. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. So, Lord, I pray that You'll encourage Your people today with this message, that in You they can have peace. In this world they'll have tribulation, but they can be of good cheer. Because You've overcome the world. God, make it so in the hearts of these people. Lord, I don't really want to pastor a church of people that's give up and worried to death. But God, the truth about it is these people are a lot of reflection of what I am. And so God, I want to be of good cheer. Oh God, thank You for Your word, for Your promises, for the truth. Thank You for the life that You give us. Thank You for our homes, our families, our children, our church, the work, the health, the strength. Oh, Lord, the blessings. But God, thank You most for the spiritual blessings that You've given us. And Lord, I pray today that You'll take this message and drive it home to the hearts of these people by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that they'll be a people of good cheer in the midst of a world of trouble. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed today, you're here and you'd say, Pastor, Preacher, I need to be saved. I'd like to visit with you after church is over today. Would you put your hand up real high where I could just see it and I'll know to wait on you? I'll sit right up here at the front, take the Bible and show you how to be saved today. You can leave this place a new creature, born again in the Spirit of God. I will show you. You say, wait for me. I want to be saved today. Is there a hand up in the air anywhere? Up high and back down, just where I can see it. Make sure I see it. Acknowledge it. I see that little hand. God bless you there. If you'll come, I'll be glad to meet with you. Anyone else today? Anyone else? Got all afternoons, all I've got. Lord, thank You for this hand that was raised, and I pray God give them grace in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you tonight. Thank You for being here.